I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Steve.
I'm Erica.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve. And this is Streaming Things, the best podcast you could possibly go to for Lost Season 1 coverage.
Lost.
Kit is still in Sundance, but we
dancing on the sun.
The beautiful, the lovely,
the effervescent,
the amazing Erica with us in his stead. Hi, Erica.
I mean, you really set me up for failure there.
That was a plan all along. We can't have you.
Set you up for success.
I just really want to make you guys miss Chris. A kid, laser.
I do. We miss him every day.
Absolutely.
Miss him every day.
No, I'm kidding.
He's all right.
I miss him.
But yeah, we're proud of him. He's out on Sundance doing amazing things. We're so excited to hear back. I'm sure he's going to come back with all sorts of stories. I'm so excited for him.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But today, gang, we are covering episode 18 of Lost, Numbers. Do y'all know the history behind this episode at all? Only to say that this... Sorry.
I was like, wait, what?
Sorry, this is the first time we're watching it, so no.
I thought you were going to ask me, like, the history behind numbers?
Yeah.
No.
Well, we went back to
math.
The first, there was zero, and then there was one.
Oh, wow.
Now we're at 18.
Yeah, now they're at 18. Yeah.
Look at that.
No, numbers is actually one of the most beloved episodes of the show. A lot of people love this episode a lot. And we're going to get into it. I'm excited to see what you guys feel about it. Before we do, there is a little bit of housekeeping. You guys can support the show by going to patreon.com/streamingthings. We have a variety of tiers there. But if you can't throw money our way, that's okay. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this. It could be YouTube, could be Spotify, could be Apple Podcasts. Who knows where you're watching this? It's the internet. Maybe it's 1,000 years in the future and you're listening to this on some U.S. state
Wally robot
because we made it there. A Wally robot.
That'd be great.
Instead of listening to Hello Dolly, he listens to Streaming Things.
He listens to us episode 18 coverage of Lost Numbers.
Wally.
Dad Island.
Dad Island.
Hurley.
Barnaby.
Look out, sorry, we're going to go on a whole like tangent with Wally. Give us a 5-star review wherever you can. You can also email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Follow us on the socials. You know the song
you know
and
the
dance.
Deal.
Yeah, you know the dance. Let's get into it. Lost, episode 18, Numbers. Guys. Let's start with Madison this time.
Let's do it.
Start with me.
Let's start with
absolutely.
Madison, what are your overall thoughts for episode 18?
I think I'm amongst the majority when, you know, people give this episode praise for being really good. I also had a really good time with this episode. We finally are diving into Hurley's backstory. And there's a lot of mystery slash craziness that kind of unfolds with going into Hurley's backstory. I don't know. It was, I feel like it was very well written. It had a lot of charm, this episode. I think with Hurley's character in specifically, but also with Charlie and with Saeed and Jack. I don't know. It was a good episode. We get to see Russo again, which I really enjoyed. So I see why it is such a well-received episode amongst audiences. It's one of my top episodes for sure for season one.
Very nice. Yes. Very nice. Erica, how did you find Numbers?
I really enjoyed this episode. It had its problems. A lot of people were just like really overacting the hell out of some things. Yeah. Like really, really overacting.
Yeah.
Being a dramatic person myself. I didn't mind that.
You dramatic?
Right. Me? Huh? I think that a little bit of trouble with the episode is that the writers did not trust the audience whatsoever to put two and two together. They made a lot of like little fumbling mistakes, like Hurley's backpack. There's three water bottles. What? I just get dehydrated. You know, like they tried to make everything incredibly obvious to the audience rather than like trusting the audience to kind of put two and two together. Yeah. So that's one mistake that they made. But overall, I felt like the story was so enjoyable. This is the first time, I think, that we're really getting a deeper dive into Hurley.
Yeah, it's Hurley's first episode.
Yeah, and that was like super enjoyable to me. I loved like seeing like where he came from, what his family was like. Mm-hmm. And actually like his story was bonkers. It was the most like, didn't see that coming. I never would have guessed that. I didn't understand. Like it was very, it was all over the place. And I kind of liked that. It was a departure from some of the other backgrounds. Like here's an unhappy spouse. Here's a child and his father. Like, you know, this one was.
Here's a dead dad.
Yeah. Here's a dead dad.
Here's a pregnant woman.
Pregnant woman with a dead dad.
It was bonkers. Like I didn't see any of it coming. It was kind of a really fun roller coaster of an episode. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so numbers to me, now me. Numbers is a very fun episode. Hurley is inherently just a very fun character. Mm-hmm. So you know whenever there's one based off him, it's going to be at the very least going to be fun. I am in the minority cuz I did say how this is like a very lauded episode and people fucking love this episode. It's one of their favorites. This isn't one of my favorite episodes. There is a like the performances, I think, really drag this episode down. There's not a strong performance in this episode, I think. There's a melodrama to a lot of stuff that's going on, like on the island specifically, like everything on the island's like, okay, come on, guys, why are we doing this? But Hurley's story, like the backstory stuff, all that stuff is fun. And who would have thought, and this is why I think I like this episode, a big saving grace of this episode is just, his backstory is so creative, but true to who he is.
Right.
Like if you watch episode one of Lost and someone pointed you like, hey, what do you think Hurley's backstory is? In a million years, would anyone have guessed that he's the richest person on the island, A, and B, he's cursed, and C, he's cursed by a series of numbers? Like his story is wild and bonkers and very fun and imaginative. And I do like how they have planted little seeds of doubt leading up to this, or like not doubt, I'm sorry, little seeds like kind of showing like Hurley is a lottery winner because there's that thing where he plays with Walt, plays backgammon with Walt and kind of mentions that like he, you know, what Walt wins like $80,000 from 80, some like point.
Or something.
83
yeah.
something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I didn't mention this in the previous episode. I meant to, but we kind of like blew through it in my notes. But like when Jin breaks in the door and it like initially tells the guy like, hey, Mr. Pike wants you to open up the factory again. His daughter's watching a TV show and Hurley's on the TV. And it's a little news thing, like local man wins.
Right.
Even though, you know, why would they be watching that in Korea? but like they've been subtly hinting that Hurley is this rich person this whole time. But to see it all kind of come together is a fun show, a fun ride. But let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Let's do the scene by scene recap. We open with Hurley. He's helping Jin. or trying to, at least they're at the boat. And there's this fun thing where Jin's like, no, you got to hold the bamboo together. And her's like, I don't know what you want. You want me to make a snowball, man? What's this all about?
Perny's a little annoyed. I'm like, Hurley, you definitely know what he's trying to say to you. Like, come on.
Yeah. And yeah. And Michael's like, hold it tighter. Like, yeah, I understand. Like,
yeah.
Cause we're best friends now.
Yeah. So I understand just, like, him.
Squeeze it tighter.
I understand him. Just the way he looks at me, I can read his mind, you know?
Yeah. Michael's got guards for the boats now to prevent someone burning this new one. But he wants to have like an SOS signal when they get out onto the open water. So he's like, maybe if we can have some batteries. Hey, that
he said upgrades.
This boat now has Wi-Fi. But he said, hey, didn't that Russo woman have batteries? Maybe we should talk to Saeed about that. And Saeed's like, no,
absolutely not.
I can't even believe that today of all days, you come to me on this beach and you mention Danielle's name to me. Saeed is so fucking upset. It's kind of wild. Just it's like, hilarious. How dare you?
It's like he is interpreting it as them taunting him of this like traumatic experience that he's taking it too personal.
Guys, I was tortured.
How dare you ask me about this?
I don't know French. I don't know what these papers mean. Get on my back. It's normal size.
I thought it was funny just because, like, you know, they're all like panicking and going crazy. And early the last episode, his batteries ran out on his Walkman. He's like, didn't she have, you know, batteries that Michael needs? Michael needs batteries, right? I don't need batteries.
My Walkman didn't die.
I don't need, but Michael might
Michael,
need some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fun, like, I do know that like each episode sort of hints at what the next episode's gonna be about. Usually, do you think like the battery dying?
I think
like,
so.
We need batteries now.
I think they were totally like pointing to like, oh, suddenly now there's an interest in these batteries. Oh, Hurley needs the batteries.
Yeah, but Hurley's like really sort of like he at one point Saeed gives him some of the papers and Hurley's looking at the papers and he realized one of the sets of papers has the number sequence 4, 8. 15, 16, 23, and 42 written down over and over and over again. And for some reason, this has Hurley in a trance.
Hurley's like, oh. He pauses.
So then we go back in time. Which I do got to say, the back in time bit is me quoting Huey Lewis in the News back in time. I don't know if people are picking that up.
What did you
think it was? Because we were watching this together and you said that you thought it was something else.
I said, I always get sad if Steve misses a back in time. But I didn't know it was Huey Lewis in the News.
I didn't either.
I thought it was like making fun of Island Boys. Because it's so bad, but it's the same too.
You told me that and it kind of blew my mind. Like, holy shit, it is like the same like beat Island Boys. Back in time.
It's a song?
Yeah. Yes. Huey Lewis in the News back in time.
Oh, and so
gotta go
Island
back
Boys.
In time. So we're back in time. It's a flashback. Hurley's watching the TV. He's got a bucket of chicken. He lives with his mom. His mom's kind of giving him shit like, hey, a guy your age alone on a Saturday night watching TV. That's pretty sad and pathetic. Also, you weigh a lot. Oh. And he's like, Mom, I hate you.
She like went hard on the fat shaming. Like, why don't you go see a girl? Oh, why don't you eat better and take care of yourself? Right. Like, oh,
you're
shit.
You're gaining weight again. Yeah.
She's no like spring chicken. Okay.
It's kind of funny.
Sounds like my mom. No, I'm just kidding.
Suzanne
would know.
I was going to say Carol, but also Steve's mom's name, Carol. That might get confusing. Carol would never.
Actually, it's kind of funny. I didn't include this in Beach Please, but when they filmed this scene, it was after they had filmed all the stuff in Hawaii. And Hurley, the actor, was he lost a lot of weight while they were filming in Hawaii.
His face looks thinner.
Just by being out.
Yeah. And he had his hair pulled back in the back in time.
Yeah. And the producers were actually telling him in Hawaii, like, dude, you can't keep losing weight. You got to stop. And so in the flashbacks, he's actually 30 pounds lighter, I think, is what he said. Yeah.
His face looks thinner and his hair's back. So I'm like, he looks different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
His mom's like, I hope you're not watching that G-string show with the girls. And he's like, Mom, we got to really talk about you respecting my privacy. Yeah. You can't just barge into doors.
You can't be looking through my search history on my computer. Yeah.
In fact, just burn the computer.
Yeah. Just pull a Walt and burn it. Burn it to the ground.
But he's looking for something specific on TV. He finds it. It's the Mega Lotto jackpot results, where you got the little ping pong balls and they're reading the lottery numbers. Mm-hmm. And he reads, or the woman on the TV show reads the numbers, and he faints because he just won the Mega Lotto jackpot
the lottery
with presumably the numbers that Daniel had.
Would shit my pants.
You would shit your pants.
Yeah.
That would be 100%. Your first reaction to winning lottery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just full on.
Absolutely.
Code loss, brown.
Just completely.
Loss of sphincter
blowing
control.
Blowing chunks out of my.
Blowing chunks.
Sphincter control is a negative.
Losing all control of my bodily function. Mm-hmm. Just.
I'm glad
pissing,
you told me.
Shitting, fainting, all at once.
Crying, coming, all of them.
All at once.
Yeah.
You'll know when I lose when I win the lottery.
Well, I'm glad you told me that, just
You're
in
welcome.
Case we're ever in public and smells occur.
I just hope that she's recording the show when she wins the lottery, because that would be amazing.
I'm on the show?
Yeah, if you're
recording the show when you win the lottery, that'd
me
be amazing.
Too.
That'd be great. I want to see it.
Yeah. Well, we cut to Saeed. He is he's trying to get some shut eye, but Hurley's kind of just staring.
Hurley's being his sleep paralysis demon, and is like, "Hey, I know you're trying to sleep right now, but I have a question about these maps that you took from Rousseau."
It is kind of terrifying. Like Saeed wakes up and sees Hurley just kind of scowling at him,
and Saeed's like, "I thought I was asleep, but I guess I'm fucking not."
What do you want, Hurley?
This happens as a parent, too. You like wake up and there's a small child in your family.
Have you seen...
I woke up for a drink of water. What'd you wake up for?
I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but have you guys seen the video of this little kid coming into his parents' room and he's like, "Mom, I just flew up." And it's like super late at night. "Mom, I just flew up.
I threw up. I threw up."
That's what it reminded me of.
I've never seen that video.
I think I said that while we were watching this.
I've never seen that video, but I've lived it.
Yeah.
"Mom, I threw up.
Mom, I just flew up."
Oh my God, that just unlocked a memory of me throwing up when I was a little kid.
It happens a lot.
No, like
back in time.
No, I specifically remember
being little Steve.
I'm like 4 or 5 years old, because this is when we still lived in Goshen.
Oh, man.
And we had this like rinky little bathroom that was like all tile, like an off-colored beige 70s tile, you know.
Love it.
And the toilet just matched the color somehow.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, my mom also had like a shag carpet, like a rug in there. And I remember going to the bathroom and vomiting and but trying to stop. So I like covered my mouth. It's like going through my fingers, but I'm doing like a weird little like, "No," dance while I do it. Cause it's the chunks are being like thrown everywhere else.
Blowing chunks.
Jumping around, the chunks got everywhere on the carpet. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom was like, "You ruined the carpet. Are you okay?"
"Mom, I flew up on the shag carpet. I'm sorry.
I flew up. Honestly, I did you a service by ruining that carpet."
But tying it back, Hurley was...
Hurley?
He goes to Saeed and he's like, "Saeed, I flew up. Tell me about the map.
Are you awake?
Are you awake?
You woke him up to say, "Are you awake?
Are you awake?
I am now, fucker."
I love it when people ask that. "Are you awake?" But he's asking him about, like, you know, "Do you know, I figured you knew a lot about this kind of stuff." And like, "What kind of stuff, Hurley?" "You know, stuff." He just wants to, he's really obsessed with these numbers. And now that he knows that Daniel is tied to him, he's like taking a real keen interest in finding where she lives, possibly to seek her out. We don't know for sure yet. Back in time, Hurley has won the lottery. The press is there. They're all excited. They're asking him about it. His family, he's got his mom, Carmen, his brother, Diego, his wife or whatever. I don't know. She cheats on him later. Grandpa Tito, greatest guy he knows. First thing he's going to do with his money is give Grandpa Tito a vacation, because that guy's work. Oh, he's dead.
Oh, he has a heart attack.
That was
dies.
Crazy.
Yeah. What was going through your mind when this happened?
I was not picking up on the bad luck train. I just thought, oh, what a coincidence that his grandpa just has a heart attack. Like, I just thought that was going to add into like what he ends up doing with the money or something like that. I didn't necessarily get the impression that this was leading down a bad luck trail.
What about you, Erica?
So me being a nurse, I guess like I heard him say like, "Oh, my grandfather's worked so hard his whole life and he's had 3 jobs," and I look at him and he's given the signs, he's grabbing his arm, he's making the the signals. Yeah. Like, I'm having a heart. I already saw it coming as soon as he said he can retire. I'm like, no, that man's going to die. And yeah. die he did.
Don't so maybe mention that's retirement the, in front of a right, person. They're going to die.
Maybe right. that's the gloom and doom in me, the dark nurse humor. But I saw it coming a mile away as soon as he said, I can't wait to really take my grandpa on a cruise. You know, yeah. I was like, oh, he's a goner.
He is taking a cruise.
Yeah.
In hell.
To Dead Dad Island.
A cruise to heaven.
A cruise across the River Styx.
No.
On the cruise ship named the USS Charon.
Oh, no.
Charon? How do you pronounce that? No. C-H-A-R-O-N?
Don't know.
Anyway, the guy that pilots the boat across the River Styx. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Hurley in the present, he's being suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
He's filling up a bunch of bottles and Charlie kind of catches it up to him. He's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not filling up a bunch of waters.
I'm not trying to leave with the map that Saeed has.
He's got so much water. He's planning.
I thought it was just three. Was it more than that?
Oh, it was like seven bottles.
Okay, I guess I didn't pay attention.
And I'm like that's
three,
a lot.
Three bottles. Yeah. Three bottles came out of the initial
that's what it was.
Kerfuffle, yeah, but then like more came out. Yeah.
But I was like, that's a lot. Yeah. Of water to carry. Like, that's heavy.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I would have said no. Thank you.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how long of a trek he's got, but he says he needs more water because he's a bigger guy. But Locke finds Claire on the beach. She says, hey, I need an extra pair of hands. Can you help? And she's like,
I'm super pregnant, bro.
Super
pregnant. Could you possibly need me for?
He's like, well, do you got hands? Can you do this?
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, neither did we. Neither did I specifically. I'm like, is he asking her for a hand job? What's happening here?
Yeah, we were watching together.
Can you use your hands, Claire?
Because, well, here's the thing.
Can you move them back and forth?
Saw?
Oh, okay. A saw, sure.
We were watching together, sure. And Erica started saying that, and we're laughing. I'm like, well, no, he's asking her like if she can run a saw, and then I did the motion. I'm like, okay, like,
now I see it.
I see what I'm doing. Clearly, John Locke is a hands horizontal kind of guy. but he needs her help building something, but he won't tell her what it is. It's a surprise. Saeed. Confronts Jack on the beach. He's like, yo, Jack, you stole my maps. You come to me yesterday. You offend me and my honor yesterday. And that wasn't enough. You had to come back and steal my precious maps.
This whole time this is happening, I'm picturing Dora the Explorer. Like, the map. Yeah, that whole bit. I just was like, oh, he wants his map back.
That would be hilarious if Jack looked right into the camera and was like, can you find Saeed's map? Where is Saeed's map?
Saeed, no swiping. Saeed, no swiping.
Hurley, no swiping.
Yeah, Hurley, no swiping.
But thankfully, Charlie kind of spills the beans. He's like, oh, yeah, Charlie, yeah. Hurley's going out looking for that Rousseau woman. And obviously, Saeed and Jack are like, oh, that's not bad news because Rousseau will probably kill him.
Yeah.
He tortured Saeed. Mm-hmm. What's she going to do to poor Hurley? Because, you know, they don't expect a lot out of Hurley.
Right.
They don't.
And Saeed tells Shannon what he's doing. He's going to find Hurley. And Shannon's like, don't do that. I just kissed you.
We're in love now.
We're in love. You can't leave. He's like, I gotta. I'm a man.
Don't worry, babe. I'll think of you. And I'll know I'll have to survive. Because I got something to come back for.
Yeah.
That ass.
And then we get such a cool needle drop of Hurley walking on the beach. I don't know what song that was, but it hyped me up.
Okay. Hold on. Let me make sure I have that in my notes.
Yeah. I thought his Walkman was working again. I'm like, oh, his batteries work now.
Okay.
Oh,
so cool. I will tell you more about that song in Beach Please.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It is in my notes,
but it's kind of like an editorial segue into him being in his new Hummer with his mom.
Yeah.
Diegetic edit.
Yeah, Hurley's has a surprise for his mom, and he's driving her to this luxurious mansion that he bought for her because he just won the lottery.
Yeah, and in the car ride, he kind of looks to his mom and he's like, "Hey, I feel like this money's cursed because ever since we won it, Grandpa died, Father Aguilar got struck by lightning at his funeral, Diego's wife left him, and." And he's like, but you deserve something good. So he's going to buy her this house. She like hits him like, hey, there's no such thing as curses. We're Catholics. We don't believe in that shit.
That's blasphemy. Yeah.
And he has her, he puts a blindfold on her and she like twists her ankle getting out of the car immediately. The house is on fire. Police show up and slam Hurley against the hood of the car. Yeah. And he looks at his mom and is like, you know, it's, you still don't think that money's cursed?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And she's like, my leg's broken. Fuck
my
off.
My ankle. Ooh. Yeah.
Cut back to the present. Hurley has found the cable that it leads to the ocean, but also into the jungle. But he knows that this cable is what led Saeed to Russo. And it's, there's this funny little shot where Hurley's like following the cable. He's like, yo, French chick. Yeah, we're doing
that. That cracks me up. We can't escape it this whole episode.
So. No. Oink, oink, wee, wee. gotta go back in time. We got tropical. We're in like a like a, an accountant or a lawyer. Is this?
So he's an accountant. I would say like a financial advisor slash accountant.
Yeah, he's helping Hurley manage his money, and he's kind of running down this list like, hey, tropical storms hit Florida. Your stocks went up because that affected your stock somehow. Hurley is now the owner of a box company, so he's John Locke's boss,
basically.
he talks about how 8 people died in a fire in a building that he owned, but they got a lot of windfall of cash off of the insurance off that. So basically Hurley has like, and there's also the lawsuit with the false arrest that we just saw earlier. So basically Hurley, we find out, has doubled his lottery money.
Winnings, yeah.
Just through all tragedy. These random tragic acts.
Right.
Yeah. And this is where Hurley kind of talks about like, you know, this is
awful,
a curse.
Things that are happening to him.
Yeah.
Since he's won the lottery, and the financial guy's like, no, like I believe in numbers. Like, well,
you're not the
blah.
First one who thought that. Yeah. Come on, everybody
but then
thinks that.
A fucking guy jumps to his death right behind the financial advisor guy. And Hurley's just like, but the fuck was that, man?
Dude, did a guy just fall out a window behind you? It's honestly maybe the funniest death ever on TV. Just, I think so. Just because it comes out of nowhere and you say like, ah.
Yeah, this feels right.
Yeah, it was really funny.
So this and the guy asked him like, you know, how did you find out the numbers? Where did you get these numbers from? So yeah. So maybe that'll come back.
And then doesn't that spark like Hurley to be like, oh, I need to go to the source of where these numbers are, right?
Yes, so Hurley thinks that the money is cursed, and by this conversation he realized, oh, the money's not cursed. These numbers I used for the lottery, those are the things that are cursed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so when the guy asks him where he found out the numbers, he, you know, is like, oh, I'll find that guy out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut to in the present day, Sawyer has taken up reading next to the raft.
This made me mad.
He's not helping them build the raft, but he apparently is on guard duty. So why are you mad? Tell me.
Well, I just was like, you can't be bothered by them. Like, you're bothered by them building this raft and like making noise while you're reading. I'm like, motherfucker, they're fucking working.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're building things. Are what we do bothering you expect? You? Yeah. And like, I understand you're on watch or guard or whatever, but then do it. Don't read. I don't know. It's just like, obviously they're making noise. Like, why are you attempting to read if they're making noise? You know?
He just wanted to be pissy.
Yeah, I just want to be a little asshole.
It's like everyone in the scene wanted to be pissy because every tiny little thing that goes wrong, they're like fighting about it. Like, right. You didn't hold it right. And so he's like, you guys are being too loud. I'm trying to read.
There is kind of funny because like there's like a pontoon or something. I guess you'd call that a pontoon. Like all the bamboo that's kind of rolled together.
Yeah.
It breaks and it snaps. And it's kind of funny because when it snaps and collapses, it reveals Jin behind it. And Jin's like in the beach and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that starts his whole argument.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny way they filmed that.
Everyone's like, getting agitated with each other. But like, I think
they're frustrated.
I was
scared.
That's, I feel like, justifiable frustration. Whereas Sawyer's just like wanting to read peacefully next to where they're building
or
something.
You could walk away.
Yeah, I just was like, why are you being?
That's like if you or I, like if they were building a building like downtown and we like took a lawn chair and set it up like there. We're like, can you guys tone it down? I'm trying to read.
Yeah, we're trying to record our podcast here in the middle of a busy construction site.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're making noise when we clearly have priority here.
Oh, I'm the asshole.
I'm in the wrong. Do you see these mics? more important than that. I don't know what you're building, but
we are bringing joy and laughter to thousands around the world, and you're building a Big Lots. All right.
Entertainers.
Yeah.
Sawyer got internet for like 5 seconds, and all he used it for was to Reddit. Am I the asshole?
Yes, Sawyer, you are.
You are.
But yeah, that was dumb of him.
Well, Hurley is in the forest. He sees a strung up boar. Oink oink wee wee. And that's when the gang kind of catches up to him, and like he has his foot on like a pressure release trap. Thank God they got there just at that moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
because if he lifts his foot up, this big spiky log's gonna swing down, and they keep fat shaming him.
God damn, they do.
Who are we gonna replace his weight on that thing?
I know.
We're gonna have to get so much.
Shut up, Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie's man syndrome.
Yeah.
he's been a little dick this episode. Yeah.
Trying to overcompensate by making fun of other people, man. Right. Not cool, bro.
Yeah, and Hurley's like, hey, I'll just roll out of the way. It's no big deal. I'm spry. And they're like, no, you couldn't possibly do that. You're a big piece of shit. You're like a beach whale. Those things don't move. But thankfully, Hurley is as spry as he says. He jumps off the release valve. He doesn't get hit, or release valve, the plate.
Pressure trigger.
Yeah. And he doesn't get skewered like that burr. He just wants a battery, man. But thankfully, Saeed's like, well, let me take the lead. I was here. Let me make sure we don't fall into any traps.
He said, we're here. I guess I'll take the lead. Y'all dragged me out here.
Oh, I couldn't believe you guys did this today of all days.
Shin and I were about to make love.
In front of everyone.
Brother fucking Shannon. God damn it.
Let the people watch. Yeah, that's why they're putting the tarps up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My note just says, Saeed says he should take the lead. Chipper Charlie agrees. And then Jack pants in the background.
Yes, I'm also still on the show.
Honestly, I've enjoyed Jack taking a step back.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Like everybody. I'm kind of happy you are not the forefront of the attention right now.
You're getting other characters time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
We cut back in time. Hurley's looking for Lenny or Leonard. He's at some sort of a reception area. They're not letting him in. You're not sure exactly what he's doing. The whole time he's watching some maintenance guy trying to screw in a light bulb in the worst possible way.
Like, dude, don't be on that ladder right now. Cause for trouble.
Leave the bulb for another time, man. And that, to Hurley's credit, that maintenance guy was going to die horrifically.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
This dude's like,
the ladder was already tipping.
Let me get the most ricketyest ladder I can find. And I'm just
sniper tone.
Do you remember the SNL skit where it's like the Halloween, Joe Biden's Halloween? It's like, it's me, Joe Biden. I'm going to climb this ladder. Don't worry about it. I'm 80 years old on a ladder. Don't worry about it. Oh my God. Was this fucking guy.
Oh my God.
Don't worry about it. I'm putting a light bulb. It'll be great. It's fine.
Don't worry about it.
a doctor walks in and recognizes Hurley, like, oh, Hurley, you're back. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, was Hurley in this institution?
Oh, I took it as he worked there.
Well, I think it's implied that he was there because even earlier on when he at the press conference, Hurley says, I recently put my family through some stuff, but we worked through that. So you're like, oh is this part of it?
Oh, I just assumed he had a job there.
Maybe, which it could have been.
I was kind of like juggling between those two possibilities of,
but
like,
the doctor
says, I didn't know you guys spent time together with the person he was looking for.
I didn't know
for.
You and Leonard were friends.
So I just assumed like he was a like working
an orderly?
In an orderly or something in this facility. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to see.
Who
we'll
knows?
Have to keep watching Lost to find out. But Hurley finds Lenny, who is playing Connect Four, and he's muttering to himself. He starts muttering the numbers. He's like, Lenny, what do the numbers mean? And he's not really getting anything out of him until he's like, man, I think those numbers did something to me. I used them in the lottery and all this bad luck's happening. And at that point, Lenny is super cognizant, really sudden, like you did fucking
instantly
what?
Coherent.
That was really jarring. Really scary.
Shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
Shouldn't have done that. You opened it. You opened the box.
You opened the box.
Yeah, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? And then he spews off this name, Sam Tooley from Cal Googly.
Who knows? Wait, something like that. It was
Cal Googly?
I thought Australia. It was Sam Toomey.
Yeah, Sam Toomey. No, she's saying from. right?
Yeah.
From this place in Australia.
Like Sam
Toomey from
Toomey from Kalgoogly.
In Australia. Yeah. Whatever it was in Australia. Yeah.
I didn't look it up. I could have just been making it up, but.
Yeah, he's suddenly cognizant. He gives Hurley another direction to go. And we cut back to the present where Saeed is tracking shit. You know, they're in the woods. He's trying to figure out where they were. They come across a deep, a long bridge over a deep ravine. And they suggest, well, maybe Rousseau's team built it. Maybe it was Ethan's team mm-hmm. who built it. It's kind of weird to find a bridge here, but Hurley, he's on a mission. He crosses the bridge and everyone's super worried, like, oh, don't get over that rickety bridge.
Again.
Bridge, lard
with
ass.
One handrail.
Again, alluding to his weight, which it really kind of kept, it really did.
2003 was super mean.
It kept bothering me.
This is 05. Is 05.
Oh, 05.
It's still super mean.
It still was bothering me that this was like his, like,
that's it. Default, that's all you got.
Like issue.
Character flaw. Yeah. This is your character flaw.
Yeah.
You know, there was a whole day spent in the writing room where they were trying to come up with fat puns.
Oh, 100%.
Like, put it on the board.
And then I'm sure in commercial breaks, they Weight Watchers like paid hella money to have inserts or like whatever
shake
other.
Weights.
Yeah.
Shake weight.
Like gym membership. John Lockshaw.
Shake weight.
Yeah.
John Lockshaw, same way.
But I guess because it being a reoccurring like bit, it was just bugging me.
It was annoying.
Yeah.
You're not capable at all. You're dumb because you're large.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't have anything to do with capability.
I think prior to him going over, he is going over and they're all like kind of holding their breath, like making, like watching him go over. He makes it.
Right.
And then Charlie's like, boldly, well, if he can do it, then my tiny ass can do it, you know?
Then my cocaine rail thin body can make it over there.
Right. And so Charlie gets over the bridge and then
barely
it fucking snaps.
Yeah, he almost falls in.
Yeah, and the two groups are separated.
Yeah, and so Jack's like, okay, you guys stay there. We'll figure out a way to get to you. And Hurley's like, well, how about we just keep going? And Charlie's like, no, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah.
Jack told us to stay put. He's really on one.
You're acting like a bloody lunatic.
Yeah, he's really on one.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Happy New Year, everybody. New year, new chances to be thankful for everyone around us. And we are so thankful for every single one of our Patreon members. But now it is time to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of January. So thank you so much to Sebastian Generale, Sean Callahan, Stanton Valentino, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sunloving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much. And with that, let's get back to the show. Hurley goes to this ranch in the middle of nowhere, presumably in Australia. Mm-hmm. And this woman answers, and he's looking for Sam Toomey. This is Sam Toomey's widow. He's dead. He's been dead for 2 years. Hurley kind of tells her, like, you know, I got your number from Lenny. Oh, they were old friends from the service Navy? At some point. Yeah.
The Navy.
They used to monitor, like, stations.
Yeah.
Like, radio wave stations.
They were on a listening post, and they would just listen to nothing. But then one night, 16 years ago, they found a voice that just kept repeating those numbers. And that's where he got them. And apparently he used those numbers in a bean counting competition.
Sometimes you just got to count some beans, man.
Of all things.
Know? Yeah. And I guess this, he got the number exactly right. And then that day they got in a car wreck. She lost her leg in the car
down
wreck.
Down to the bean.
Down to the bean. She lost her leg down to the bean. but Sam was unscathed, and all these things kept happening, and he kept blaming the numbers until one day he made the number stop by putting a shotgun in his mouth.
Yeah,
and
pulling the trigger. Yeah.
And Hurley is like kind of feeding into this story of like, oh, the wife is like acknowledging that like there is bad luck associated with these numbers. But then no, she's like, no, you make your own luck. You know, he was using those as an excuse to like justify all of these bad things happening, when in reality it's like, at least in her mind, she's like, it was just happening.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
Yeah.
Sometimes numbers go and ruin your whole damn day.
The whole damn day.
Sometimes you just lose a leg.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But I hope they got take those beans home.
What a high and low.
Yeah. Do you get the money and the beans?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Dinner.
Imagine going from the heights of counting to the bean and winning a competition. Did they win a truck? Was that the thing? You won a truck?
No,
and
they won $50,000. And a truck just blew a tire randomly and hit them head on.
And then that $50,000 went to her medical bills.
Yeah.
Well, if she was in America. anyway, back in the future, Locke is still building that thing with Claire. He has made some glue that kind of impresses her.
Okay, at this point, it is very obvious what he's making.
Thank you so much.
And I was like, Claire, you dumb bitch. I know, like, you know what he's making.
You don't know what this is? Ethan, you were right to take the baby. She doesn't know how to be a mom if she doesn't recognize
that baby's not going to grow up in a safe home if she doesn't
Ethan,
know what that is.
You were right all along. Why did we shoot him? He was trying to protect the baby.
You guys don't understand. She doesn't know basic shapes.
The baby.
I just was like,
the baby.
Claire, honey, I want to root for you, girl, but you know what he's making. It's pretty damn obvious. But
we'll get to it. But the reveal, quote unquote, of what it is, when he just like,
wait.
This is what I built you. And he just dramatically
fucking flips it over. That is honestly, that's the funniest thing.
I give up. What is it?
What is it? I don't know what it is.
I give up.
Do you know what it is, Claire? No.
What is it, Locke?
That was so bad.
Oh.
Yeah, killed me. But anyway, he tells her about making glue, and she's like, you should be on a show about making glue from animal stuff.
Those house flipping shows.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, that's not for me, fam.
Nah, I should be on Naked and Afraid is what I should be on.
Oh, he would be naked and stoked. Like, just
he would be naked and
naked
excited.
And elated.
Naked and fully erect. Yeah, that would be God. John Locke.
Naked and aroused.
He's like, and I can walk. Oh, hell yeah.
Claire, oh, my God.
Can you use a song?
God damn it.
Sorry.
But he asked her, you know, if her memory's coming back. She, you know, she's putting pieces together, but nothing really is making that much sense. We cut to Saeed and the gang. He finds a spot that looks familiar. They're close. And Jack just sets off a tripwire that just unleashes Michael Bay onto the forest. Boom. I take it she...
And then Optimus Prime comes out of nowhere and he's like, Autobots, roll out.
You must have activated the Allspark. Jack, you are clearly the leader of the group.
Bumblebee.
As an alpha transformer to an alpha man, tell Bumblebee that we have to find Megatron. Roll out.
You know
out.
What? I wouldn't have been surprised if that happened. Honestly, a robotic entity just comes out of nowhere. I'm like, you know what?
That hold up, there are place. Polar bears on this island. That's fucking weird.
We're out.
Claire, that is clearly a crib.
Even I know that I am not even from this planet. We don't use cribs on Cybertron.
Clearly, it's just a baby containment controller.
But he's clearly built you a baby containment unit. Oh, you made your own glue. That's great.
I love this crossover episode.
Oh, my God. We need more Optimus Prime on the island. But yeah, Russo has apparently like abandoned her house or her hovel and rigged it to blow in case someone came
back. That was such a weird cut. Because it didn't go. I don't know how you guys watched it. I watched it on Hulu, so there were interchanges, intercuts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was a distinctive cut from the explosion to them just being in this like.
In the crater?
In the crater of this explosion.
Right.
And I just was like.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, we're rolling with it. They're in Russo's camp.
Sure.
Yeah, they're in Russo's camp. She clearly has moved on, as as Saeed says.
Vacated the premises.
He seems a little hurt, like she moved on. Oh, man.
She loves
me. I'm trying to move on.
Who do you love, Saeed? God.
He loves a lot of people. Well, Charlie's upset.
He's a lover.
He calls Hurley Colonel Kurtz, which is a funny little Apocalypse Now joke. You've gone crazy, you're Colonel Kurtz. And then I love this shot where they're talking and then like someone shoots at him.
Clearly.
And then they like look at it, look back at each other. Dude, is someone trying to shoot us?
And then they go, and then there's another bullet. And they're like, okay, bye.
Oh,
and
shit.
They leave. Yeah.
Because honestly, it is kind of a silly thing, but I think if I was in their position, I would probably react the same way. Like,
similarly.
What the fuck was that? Is someone trying to oh shit, they are.
Yeah.
But they go running.
During the second bullet, I was like, oh shit, like Charlie got shot. Because that's kind of how his face was.
Oh.
Eric go like, up yes, sorry.
Shoot
you
him.
Fat shaving piece of shit.
I think what's funny too is like right before they started to get shot at, Charlie's like, you're acting crazy. And Hurley's like, I have my reasons. And he's like, well, I'm on this adventure with you. I deserve to know. Like, bitch, you crashed
you
this party.
Here.
Yeah.
You followed me. I didn't invite you. Don't say I owe you something.
Yeah, don't put that on Hugo.
So, yeah, I was a little sorry that Russo missed. But you know what? The thing about Russo is she didn't miss. She was sending a message.
I prefer to think of that than think of her as like the silent sniper Tony.
No, no, no. Oh, she
I'm aiming for the big one.
You have seen this show before, haven't you?
The show? No, like a long time ago.
Oh, okay,
like years and years ago. No.
Okay.
Like you don't remember any of it?
No. I remember nothing. I didn't even remember Russo as a character. So yeah,
okay.
I worship her. She's amazing.
Yeah, we love her.
Yeah.
But finally, Russo or Hurley runs into Russo, more like it, and he asks her why she wrote the numbers, and she's like, I don't know. And and Hurley starts freaking out because he's like at this moment, he wants some freaking answers, man. Like he's like, there's a monster in the woods, but we all don't talk about it. We all forget. Maybe it's a pissed off giraffe. I don't know. But the fact that no one's even looking for it is a little weird.
Right.
Which is, I think, the audience kind of projecting that as well, which is kind of fun. Fun time Hurley, always along for the ride, but not this time. He wants some answers. And this, you know, she puts her gun down and she's like, hey, you know what? I do know where the numbers came from.
Yeah.
We heard them on a transmission, and the numbers are why we landed here on the island. We were looking for the source of them. We found a radio tower. It's by the Black Rock. You've heard of it. And they were searching for the meaning of the numbers until they got rescued, but everyone died. And when everyone died, she went and changed the transmission from the numbers to her transmission that we heard so many episodes back.
Yeah, if she wanted to kill him, she would have killed him. She set all those booby traps.
Yeah.
She didn't kill Saeed. If she wanted to kill him, she would have freaking killed him. She knows what she's doing. She's like changing these numbers.
She's handy.
Russo is my favorite.
She's a boss.
Look at her. Yeah, she has some intuition to what is going on than what she's giving off.
Oh, for sure. So yeah. I don't think she would tell anything.
No, but yeah. I think I looked at this scene with Hurley as like she is connecting with Hurley in a way that like, yeah. Okay, you are equally, like, you're not trying to prove anything to me. You're just trying to like figure out what the fuck's going on.
And she's like, Sayu did.
Yeah. She's kind of like, me too.
I have empathy for that.
Me too, man.
Well, he says he asks her, you know, where do the numbers get their power, their curse? And then she's like, I guess they are cursed because we came here because of the numbers. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, you're right. And this is the first time someone has acknowledged Hurley that the numbers are cursed in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that means so much to him. And he like immediately hugs her and she lets him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love her. Yeah. Crazy respect. Crazy.
I love her. I love her crazy Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor vibe.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
It's love cool. It. I like the mystery of her too.
Yeah.
Jack and Sayid are back at her crater, rummaging through stuff. Sayid finds
her craters.
Sayid finds the photo.
Suffering from radiation.
Yeah, probably. Jesus. Jesus.
They're going to grow big boils on their head and fucking start bleeding extra out of their limbs. Nose.
Sayid finds the photo of Nadia. And he's like, oh, yeah, her. I'm going to show this to Shannon later.
This is a weird picture
of Shannon. She was also in the show.
Yeah. Charlie catches up to him and he says, hey, I lost Hurley. But at that point, Hurley just walks up and he's like, hey, found the battery. Rousseau says, what's up?
So cute.
And they're all just kind of like flummoxed, like, damn, Hurley.
I love that.
Hurley's a badass. He did the thing.
Jack's all smiling, like, silly old Hurley.
Jack looks like a proud papa. He's like, my boy, I knew it. I believed in him this whole time.
Never.
We can all agree that me, Jack, always believed in Hurley. That's everyone right. knows this about everyone me, Jack, it. The white savior.
so true.
Jesus Jack.
My dad's name is Christian. Will that come up ever? Probably. they arrive back at camp. Sayid gives Michael and Jin the battery. They look super stoked. Locke and Claire are still talking. It's taken him a long time to build this crib, but she still hasn't figured it out. He asked about what the baby's name. She tells him that she was going to give it up for adoption. He's like, wow, that sounds like a rough...
She was not thinking of names. That is a lie. Every woman I have ever met has a catalog of names that they have concocted to name their children or a character for a book that they're going to write one day.
Yeah.
I know this is true. Yeah. She is lying. She definitely
also has a list of names you would never name your child. So you're obviously thinking about if you know you would never name him that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you thought about naming it Optimus Prime? I'll go with just Prime.
Ortis.
Just throwing it out there.
Oppie.
Or Bumblebee.
Okay. Bumblebee. Name the baby Bumblebee. Do it for my friend. It'll mean a lot to him. He doesn't speak, but it means a lot to him. He would say thank you if he could.
Then we get the it's a crib. It's really fucking funny.
It's my birthday.
It's just it's my birthday today. Oh, happy birthday, Claire. Here's a baby cradle. And she's like, it's what?
Here's a crib for the baby that you didn't want.
It's not an animal trap.
Oh
my god.
What character assassination they keep doing on Claire.
Oh, Claire.
Hurley's drying his clothes. I didn't catch what he was doing. I literally had to turn to Erica and be like, what's he cooking?
He was drying off his pants.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, is he cooking something? No.
No, he's drying his pants.
He just doesn't want to be wet.
Charlie joins him and is like, yo, dude, what's been going on with you? And Hurley says, like, hey, I think the plane crash is my fault. And Charlie's like, fuck you. You're not the only one with baggage.
Right.
That was another classic Charlie moment. He's like, tell me about your feelings. I'm going to tell you about mine. Mine are more important.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I was just trying to open up to you. And Charlie cuts him off. And so Hurley says, like, hey, you know, back before here, I'm worth $156 million. And then Charlie goes like, fuck you. I bore my soul to you and told you I was a heroin junkie. And you come at me with this shit and he leaves. Because he doesn't believe Hurley.
Yeah.
It's a pretty tall tale. And then last, before the episode does end, we get a very scary looming shot of the hatch. And what's scribbled on the hatch there, Madison?
The numbers.
The numbers.
The numbers.
The cursed numbers.
Oh, yeah. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42. They're there on the hatch. My goodness. What does it all mean, guys? That's the end of this episode, which brings us to Beach Please. Beach Please is the part of the episode where I, Steve, tell you some interesting factoids, bloopers, continuity errors, just overall fun things to know about the episode we just watched. And I got a couple fun stuff for you this week, gang.
Yay.
Let it rip.
So in the beginning of the episode, when Hurley is watching TV, there's a news reporter that he kind of flips through that says, "And that's right, Mary Jo. That is none other than Carlton Cuse, who is the producer of the show." That is his little cameo into the show.
Fun.
The artist. Here you go. The artist. I'm just going to read this verbatim. This is from Lossopedia.
Okay.
It's kind of hard for me to kind of explain, so I have to like read it word for word. The artist and title behind the hip hop song Heard in the Hummer had not been identified for 15 years after the show aired. So it was a big mystery. No one knew who sang it or what the song was, allegedly for 15 years.
Fun.
On February 11th of 2020, it was Walt. Oh, that would have been great. On February 11th of 2020, it was revealed through the podcast Down the Hatch. The artist was Chris the Glove Taylor, who, with the help of his friend, created the song for the show. It was envisioned as a spiritual song for the character of Hurley. So kind of fascinating that this song just was a mystery in and of itself.
Yeah, that's fun.
So there you go. Another mystery of the island revealed.
I love that.
At 15 minutes and 21 seconds in the show, when they're kind of putting the bamboo together and it falls apart and they all start arguing, there's a sailboat clearly seen behind them sailing the seas. And then in the very next shot, when you see Jen and Michael argue, who's the shot of? So it's Jen and Michael arguing in the background.
Sun is watching them talk to each other.
Yeah, so it's Sun's point of view watching them talk to each other. There's a house in the background. A clear house in the background. And also there's someone on the beach watching this happen.
That's so funny.
Shot to shot, back to back, blooper. It's really funny.
I love it. Steve paused. He's like, "Do you see that?" And I'm like, "You mean that sailboat?"
And then we kept watching it, and you're like, "Wait, there's a house.
Is that a house?
Wait, who's that person?"
That's great.
Oh my gosh!
So good. I mean, that's kind of what happens when you film on in a public space,
right?
Yep. The Lotto girl who announces the numbers at the beginning of the episode is none other than Brittany Perrineau, Harold Perrineau's wife, making her second cameo on the show.
Is that the woman that...
She was the woman that Sawyer was sexing up in the hotel episodes ago.
Sexing up.
They are not...
Sexing down.
They are not supposed to be the same character.
Right.
Mm.
It's just kind of a fun little
Produce,
Easter egg.
Reuse,
that
recycle. That's Brittany, what they do with women on the show.
Ba-dumps.
At 15 minutes into the movie, we see Sawyer reading his second book of the series. So it's great to know that it took Sawyer a month to read Watership Down. He is now...
How can he read quickly with all the noise?
I know, right? There's so much noise. He's now reading A Wrinkle in Time, which maybe that means something to what's going on in the show. Who knows? And then last but not least, again referencing that ranked IMDb list of episodes of season one of Lost, Madison, where do you think Numbers appears on this list?
I'm going to say number 3.
Number 3, Erica. Well, you know, I told you where this ranks, right?
You told me. I'm cheating.
Okay. This is ranked number 1.
Wow.
On that IMDb ranking list. This is the number 1 episode of the season. I vehemently disagree, but I don't think it's... I think it's a good episode. I don't think it's near.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've kind of gone against this list a couple of times with episodes that we've ranked real low that it ranks high, and we've ranked high that it ranks low. So, I mean, we haven't been on track with this list at all.
And is this list like at the time that it showed, at the time that it aired?
This is an older list.
Yeah. So like, you know, like time changes things, and people's opinions of things, and, you know, like seeing it at a 2024 eye versus 2003-5 or whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely, I acknowledge that this episode is really, really good. But I mean, I personally think it's kind of equivalent, like, good. It's equivalently good to the episode 17, honestly. Like, I don't know. I like 17 enough to where I could feel like the two of them are...
In translation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly to each other. But okay. Interesting.
Hmm.
Because I also think Outlaws is really good, too.
I think Outlaws is better than this.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to say that I think this is a bad episode. I think it's definitely like in a top 10.
Yeah.
I think also if you look back at it, if Hurley is a fan favorite.
Oh, he's very much a fan favorite.
So, I mean, that's probably got a lot of heart into this is the number one.
And this episode specifically, I know like, was it House of the Rising Sun? We were like, everything on the island, we were like, no, I don't want to, fuck that, flashback. I want to know what's going on off the island.
Right.
This episode's the same. We're like, most of the stuff happening on the island, like, I hate what's going on right now.
Bad
but everything
direction.
In the flashback, I'm like, in.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, let's move on to our next segment, our Mile High Moments, where we talk about our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, let's start with you. What is your number three favorite moment of this episode?
My number three is just solely based off the fact that I just found it to be so stupid. But like when Locke reveals that they were building a crib and it's like so painfully obvious from... the second time we see them, that's what they're making. But then for it to like come to fruition and Claire's like, that's what it was. Oh my God. I'm like, bitch, it was clearly a crib. Anyway, that's my number three.
It's clearly a crib.
It's clearly a crib.
Erica, what is your number three?
My number three moment is when Hurley goes to Australia and meets up with Sam Toomey's wife. And they have this little heart to heart because, you know, he's genuinely concerned. He's had this, history with these numbers. He's won the lottery. There's all these bad things happening. And so I think it was really interesting to hear like how they even got the numbers in the first place, because he goes to see Lenny first. And then, you know, he's thinking, this is where I really find my answer, is when I go to see Sam Toomey. Mm-hmm. In that conversation with his wife and how she just like totally disagrees with him at the end. I thought that was beautiful. I thought it was like a really good way to look at things. And, you know, Sam Toomey felt cursed. And what did he do? He ended his life. And she's like, sometimes things happen. You just have to move forward. So I thought that was just like super interesting. Whereas I still believe that the numbers are cursed, seeing all the events together. But I liked that her attitude about like, okay, what if you do have a curse? Just move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, that's life. You gotta move on. Pick up.
That's life.
That's what all the people say, Erica.
That's what all the people say.
Yeah. My number three is actually the same as Madison's, and that is the crib reveal. But so, more so, to be honest, the crib reveal is really, really funny. But I actually, and I am a John Locke apologist. I do love John Locke. The idea that he's just the happy birthday, Claire, for whatever reason, it did get me. I'm like, oh,
it is a sweet moment between the two characters of like Locke is building up to this surprise of like, even Claire's clearly dumb to not realize what it is, but like he's building up to this sweet gesture.
The beautiful, stupid girl
building this crib for, you know, this baby, and like the symbolism of a crib, like being that she is about to be a mother and enter motherhood. Like, I think it is a very sweet moment. And then I think the cherry on top is just, it's her birthday. Cool.
And he said something about luck. It's lucky that you're going to have, your baby's going to be born close to your birthday. Brings luck. And she's like, do you believe in luck? And he's like, yeah, I believe in a lot of things.
He said, that's my fucking name.
John Luck.
John Luck.
Everyone's been pronouncing it wrong this whole goddamn time.
Yeah.
And I'm too cool to correct him. Madison, what's your number two favorite moment?
My number two is Erica's number three for all the same reasons, which is Hurley talking to Sam Toomey's wife. I just, again, similarly to all the things you liked about it, it was just this very, it was mysterious. We like really dug deep into that plot line of like, oh, this is where the numbers originated from. But then you find out that there's still more, like, what do the numbers mean? I liked that. It was the ominous of him going to this like abandoned, but like this very
in the middle of nowhere,
creepy house in the middle of Australia. It was just really crazy. I liked it.
All right, Erica.
It gave kind of like Chainsaw Massacre vibes almost.
A little bit,
like
yeah.
The lighting, and then it's like a by itself, and just this creepy lady comes in.
Then the story of them winning a contest by naming how many beans were in a jar, I think is so niche and weird.
Yeah.
Like that was like one of, there's a writer from a very small town in the Midwest that had this exact same thing happen to them at their like summer festival. And he was like, I'm just going to write this into the show somehow. I just know I am. It's like, this is a very close contest to my heart.
100%. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love that scene. They do something that like a lot of TV shows and movies do where it's like, oh, we're in Australia. That means we got to put on the orange filter.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be orange. There's going to be everything teal and orange is going to be very saturated.
We got to be Mad Max in it over here.
Yeah. Right. That's where Mad Max takes place. Right.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Erica, what's your number two?
My number two moment is I just freaking thought it was hilarious when Hurley's like, sure, we found a monster and no one's looking for it. Like, he's just like calling out the fact that everyone's not caring about the bigger picture here. And I thought that was hilarious. But that whole moment when he's with Danielle and he's like, I've just been like going along with the flow. Sure, I'm just fun time Hurley, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, but I really need answers. Like, and she found like what he was saying. And I know that everyone thinks that she's like, you know, not with it. Yeah, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I just love the fact that he like stunned her even. And she's like, yeah. I mean,
damn,
like,
Hurley, you cool.
So, yeah.
She has survived this whole freaking place alone for who knows how long. 16 years was the transmission. Is that what they said in a previous episode or something?
Yeah. Something like that.
She set traps. She has like, she is very like, she's very resourceful. She's very specific in what she does. She like makes very like big decisions. And she's like, you're right. Ever since we found those numbers, bad luck has been upon me too.
Mm-hmm.
We found those numbers and then the illness came.
Right.
And now I'm alone. So I was just like, that moment, I loved it so much. I just freaking love Rousseau. Danielle is my second deity and I love her.
Rousseau is my spirit animal.
She's amazing. Honestly, she's fantastic.
Well, my number two is just a small, it's the very last scene. It's just the creepy, look at the numbers, they're on the hatch. Yeah.
That was a good reveal.
Like that was a really cool like moment. And again, because the hatch mystery is so fun and you know, it's fucking this door in the ground. What's it for?
Yeah.
And just adding the numbers there really kind of elevates the intrigue of that, at least for me. And the way they shot it was almost like it was a Sam Raimi horror film where like there's lightning and shit. And, like, look at that.
Right.
Ominous.
Also showing that Locke and Boone have made progress. Well done, boys.
Yeah.
You've dug a little deeper.
Yeah.
Like maybe 4 inches.
It's almost worth the starvation of your people.
Right.
Well, I mean, Locke had to take a break to make a crib.
You're right.
Spent all day on that thing.
Animal trap.
Who knows how much, and who knows how many days he wasted just making that glue, you know?
Right? It is an animal trap because the whole time the people were the demons, you know? Like, they're the most evil, right? This island's just here, but the people are the real monsters.
The problem's out there, man. Out there.
We are the problem.
We are the problem.
Yeah.
Madison, what is your number one?
My number one is when Hurley and Rousseau are discussing the numbers. I liked how Hurley just, he had a moment, and because up until this point we've kind of seen him be the comedic relief, the guy that, not that he hasn't had substance up until this point, but it's been really difficult to like rationalize him being a contributor to the group. And so I think this was very eye-opening for the audience to recognize Hurley is like, he does have like full picture in mind. He sees that this is really weird. And I think consulting in Rousseau, who, you know, up until this point, everyone's like, oh yeah, she's the crazy French woman from the jungle. But no, she's actually like this really intuitive huntress, whatever.
Sure.
Huntress. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it really played well into the flashbacks that we were having with Hurley. It's kind of his like come to Jesus moment of like, finally someone is acknowledging that these numbers are cursed. They're crazy. And yeah, I liked seeing Hurley a little shaken up. It was fun to see. So
very nice. Erica, number two.
Number one.
I'm sorry. Number one.
My number one. I actually had these flipped and then I flipped them right before. So Madison and I are number two, one and two. Originally, that is exactly how I had it. So my number one, I switched it just because I switched to the numbers on the hatch end sequence like you had, Steve.
Nice.
Just because I was like, you know, this really made me want to know more. It made me want to like consume more. I want to know what the hell, how does this number come into play? What is this fucking hatch? Like, I stopped giving a shit about the hatch just because, like, John Locke was so obsessive about it. And, you know, Boone is just like, whatever you say. And it's just like that relationship got so old. And the fact that they've been lying to everybody for so long and not hunting and not, like, helping people, like, by providing, like, it just made me lose interest.
But Erica, this is what's important.
But now I'm locked in. Locked in.
Oh.
Now I care about the hatch again because, like, how does that tie in? And the mysteries are unfolding. So that, like, really reeled me in there at the end. So that's why I made it my number one moment.
All right.
Steve?
My number one moment is the Hurley-Danielle scene. Very, very well done.
We were almost all everybody.
We were almost all everybody. You're right. But again, everything you guys just said, it's a great scene. Love seeing Hurley in a position where he can be more vulnerable and more open. And same with Danielle being more vulnerable and open and accepting. Mm-hmm. And just the lore that she introduced subtly into that scene as well. Like, oh, the transmission, the radio tower was originally meant for these numbers. Yeah. And that sent out the transmission that Sam Toomey heard, presumably. It's building more upon the lore of this island. And it was subtle the way it did. And I think that's great. So let's move on to our next segment, our passenger princess segment. And I'm just going to start this one off. I'm going to be honest with you. This, I might lose some people here. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I struggled coming up with someone to nominate this episode. I had a very hard time because the episode does center around Hurley, Jorge Garcia. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't think there's really a lot of depth to this acting that he's doing, right? I'm not saying he's doing a bad job. I'm just saying Hurley is very much in a column. He sticks in that column and there's no real busting out of it, hardly ever. So I don't think he's that strong of a performance.
Okay.
Just inherent of the character, not saying anything bad about the actor. I'm just the way they write the character, the positions he's in. He's not a strong acting potential. Everyone else is acting insane in this episode. Charlie's off the fucking deep end. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Saeed is a little bit
the same. He started using too.
Yeah.
Jack is there.
He's panting less.
Claire doesn't know what a crib is. And so when I was really kind of sitting down and trying to think, who am I going to give this to? It came down to two people. And it was Emily DeRaven as Claire or John Locke, because I felt out of everyone, those were the two that were doing acting and not just like, you know? Mm-mm. And so
is this contraption building?
And because
it's
of
my
that
birthday.
And I'm not proud of this because
but
again,
it doesn't matter because I'm single.
And alone and pregnant.
Sorry.
We're saying fuck you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
We love you, but fuck you.
I'm not proud of this. But I'm giving it to Terry O'Quinn.
You shouldn't be.
Simply because I don't want to give it to anybody else. And his was the performance I was least not impressed with. So that's it. Terry O'Quinn. Madison, save me and save someone else that people are going to like better.
I am nominating Jorge Garcia, who plays Hurley. Although I do see your point where, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of depth to his performance. However, I think this was like the prime time to give him this award. Simply, yes, it was his episode, but also, I mean, he had multiple scenes. He had that scene with Danielle, where he had to get insanely vulnerable. And for that scene alone, I feel like he deserves the award.
Yeah. There you go. Erica?
I also gave it to Jorge Garcia because I think, you know, for the most part, Hurley has been like the funny background character. Mm-hmm. He's been here to like one up your moment, like, oh, I'll elevate it a little bit with saying something goofy or silly.
Mm-hmm.
But so far he hasn't been written to have anything truly deep. And this is the first time that he's had that. I think that they wrote it a little funny because, you know, when I was making my comments earlier, like they don't trust the audience.
oh, oops, I spilled out all these water bottles. Like, you know, I think the problem was more the writing than the acting, because I think like,
oh yeah,
he's been sitting there and like taking this shit forever. And then when he finally does explode, I think he made his point. And I think he brought it home, like how he was really feeling, because, you know, a lot of times people will, they'll just like keep these things to themselves and just like suffer silently. And he strikes me as the silent sufferer. And he's like, I'm just trying to go along and keep everybody happy and keep everything all chill and everything. That's a big burden for someone. And finally, he's like, no, I feel like I'm going crazy. And then, you know, no one's looking for this monster out here. Like, we just all forgot about that. Let's all just have a fun time. So I think his moment of vulnerability, I think it won it for him, because he hasn't been given a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And this episode, he did. He took the crap that his mom was giving him for being overweight. He's like, I think you need to respect my privacy. Like, he's just written as a very go with the flow, don't make waves character, maybe because he is bigger and he does get made fun of, but you know, he just tries to make everyone happy. And in this episode, he finally got the chance to actually shine as someone who's like, hey, I'm determined, I'm gonna go do this. Like, that's cool that you guys want to go back, but I'm just gonna keep going, okay? Like, you know, get my answers. He's like, he had that determined attitude. So I actually enjoyed his, I think he actually finally got the chance to act in this episode. And so that's mm-hmm. why I appreciated that he had the majority of the scenes and the change in his character from, you know, fun sunshine Hurley to like, no, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, like help me. So I liked it. I gave it to him.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Very well said.
Well, that brings us to our last segment, Lost and Found, where we kind of review all the mysteries that are afoot on the show. I think we got a pretty big one to add.
And definitely.
That is the numbers.
What are the fucking numbers
what
mean?
What are the numbers?
What do they mean?
What are all these, you coming at me with these numbers.
What's in the hatch?
I don't deal with fucking numbers. What the fuck is this?
You coming at me, I'm on this island, you're coming at me with maths.
You're fucking at me with maths. I thought we left that shit out there. In the water.
Yeah, numbers. Yeah,
so adding the numbers. Yeah. Was there anything that was solved at all?
The one thing, how Russo got there, was that one of the mysteries that you guys had though?
I don't think,
cause I was just like, well, how'd they get there? Maybe that wasn't just my personal question. Like, how did the people, how did Russo's group get to the island? Like, why is she there already?
I think we knew that they shipwrecked the island. I don't know if we knew that they had picked up that signal.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just me.
We didn't have that written down as a mystery. Cool.
Something to add for me was, where is Russo's new camp now? I'm sure that'll get added.
Yeah.
What neighborhood she run in?
Yeah. Where's she all this girl? Equipment and supplies? Like, doesn't she run out of them?
How could you afford a new house?
How'd you afford all that
C4? Economy?
Yeah, shit.
How'd you rig up all that C4 to blow up your own house? Where'd she get all that? Where'd she get her munitions?
Yeah, exactly. And then, was Hurley admitted in the institution or did he work there? I'm kind of curious to know.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to know what's going on there.
Did she say something about the Black Rock? I think that's already a mystery you guys have.
That is a mystery, Rock. She mentioned the Black Rock, I think, in the episode with her and Saeed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So that, I think, kind of wraps up this week's episode of Streaming Things Lost. The numbers. We finally did it, guys. Look forward next week to Kit coming back. We're going to keep doing two episodes of Lost a week. I think next week, the movie of the week is Tank Girl. Be excited there. I think that's it. We got to return some videotapes. My name is Steve.
I'm Erica.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve. And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.